Radio Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And it's time for sports. And because this is Boston, we're happiest when we can talk about crushing defeat and disappointment. And this is a good week for that, don't you think, Meghna?
Oh, absolutely. And if the Patriots Super Bowl loss on Sunday proved anything, it is that old maxim, Anthony, that football is a game of inches. And of course, it was Wes Welker's crucial missed catch with 4 minutes to go in the game that really proved the point.
Second and 11. And Brady's going to launch it deep, and it's incomplete. He's just a little bit behind Welker, tried to reach up behind him and couldn't call it in.
Giants were confused on the play, nobody down the field, and Welker makes that catch 100 times out of 100.
I guess this was the 101st time, though. The play was a rare misfire between Welker and Brady. Instead of giving the Patriots a chance to extend their lead, the miss gave the ball back to the Giants, and we all know what happened next.
Well, joining us now, as he does most Wednesdays, is the host of NPR's Only a Game, Bill Littlefield. Hi there, Bill.
Hello, Meghna.
So, Bill, what went wrong?
Well, Wes Welker has spoiled people over many years by catching a great many passes in important circumstances, and this time he didn't. And as that announcer's call indicated, it wasn't a perfectly thrown ball, but we've come to expect him to catch even the ones that are behind him, and this time he didn't do it.
So, Bill, this play instantly becoming a sort of part of disappointing sports lore, right up there with Bill Buckner in 1986.
I liked it when you said crushing before. That was better than disappointing.
I love talking about this stuff. It just defines who we are. But seriously, is it fair to harp on Welker in this way?
No, and it wasn't fair to harp on Bill Buckner at all when that happened. People sometimes forget in the heat of the moment that the reason these players are out there in a place where they can make an extremely public mistake is that they're very good. They've done things brilliantly within the context of their sports for a long time, and we've come to expect them to perform extremely well on a dependable basis. And then, you know, hey, they're human. Sometimes the ball kicks between your legs or just eludes your fingertips.
Yeah, and speaking of Buckner and people like Buckner, too, I mean, he was so good for so many years.
Oh, absolutely. Hall of Fame career by many measures, and yet he's remembered for a mistake. Well, not by me, by the way. I remember him as being a very personable fellow and a friendly guy to talk to in the dugout, as well as a great player.
Well, does this game change the Tom Brady-Bill Belichick legacy?
No, I don't think it does. Belichick is still an extremely successful coach. Brady is still an extremely successful quarterback. And we wouldn't be having this conversation about that question if any one of about 11 different outcomes had occurred on 11 different plays during the Super Bowl. It wasn't all about one dropped pass. The very beginning of the game saw one of the really weird plays
that
in pro football, where the Patriots gave up 2 points practically before the clock had started. So, it's very difficult to point at one thing and say, aha, that caused the defeat.
Well, as much as we love to wallow in self-pity and blame as Boston sports fans, let's turn to a little bit of positive Boston sports history that happened last night.
Rondo finds Pierce. Here we go. Got it! Paul Pierce is second all-time on the Celtics scoring list.
Very cool moment, and in case you missed it, that was Paul Pierce scoring his 21,792nd point with the Celtics, putting him past legend Larry Bird. And here's what Pierce had to say about the accomplishment right after the game.
It's a great feat knowing that you're going to be up there with all the great Celtics. You know, Larry Bird is, you know, probably one of the most important players to ever play in this franchise. And just to be up there, have your name up there with him is a great honor.
So, Bill, 13 years in the making that record, what stands out to you about it?
Well, I wonder if he'll get any more. What do you think?
More
maybe one or two.
You know, if you talk to a lot of pro athletes about athletes they really respect, quite frequently the conversation turns to longevity. People who have managed to play brilliantly or play at a very high level for a very long time. And in this day and age, often that means play for several different franchises because teams rebuild and they trade even stars. Two of the things that stand out about Larry Bird and Paul Pierce is that they have played, Bird is finished, of course, but Pierce is still playing his career with only one team. How many people can you say that about? Not all that many. So, you know, part of it is longevity, part of it is luck that you stay healthy enough to play at a high level for such a long time, and part of it is that he's an extraordinarily good basketball player.
So we should say one thing. So Paul Pierce is now number two.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. So yeah, who's number one?
Exactly. John Havlicek, and that was the trivia question of the night. You know, I talked to several people who had trouble coming up with Havlicek, and that just goes to show that if you quietly do your job brilliantly for a long time, time will go by eventually enough so that that will be forgotten.
Well, I was just wondering, is that the Paul Pierce story here too? Because as you were saying, he's played a long time and maybe people might have thought, you know, hey, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett score more.
No, of course not. They both won championships. They both got championship rings. They both provided fans with all sorts of delightful memories. And within the context of the Celtics and pro basketball, I think their reputations are quite secure.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Anthony.
WBUR sports commentator Bill Littlefield hosts Only a Game each Saturday at 7 a.m. and then again at 7 p.m. And you can hear him most Wednesdays right here on Radio Boston. Thanks again, Bill.
Well, that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com.
Our show is produced by Adam Ragusa, Jessica Alpert, Dan Mossy, and Jason Breslow. Our interns are Annie Ropeek and Mira Sharma. We had help this week as well from Amanda Art.
Tim Skog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.